Today's scripture passage comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And then from Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning. So good to be back here after a week of being stuck on the couch because of COVID. Last Sunday was the very first Sunday I've ever had to miss preaching. Last time I got COVID was when it was all, you know, doing it from home, and so I just had COVID and preached through it. But I did not want to give anybody this particular virus. It was like super contagious. It like hit our whole praise team. Just good to be back, and thankfully no one else in the family got it, and I kept my germs to myself somehow, or they had much better immune systems, one of the two. And it's good to be back in the house of God and being with you and seeing your faces. What a blessing. Amen. And so we're continuing our teaching series on the life of Paul, and we're looking at essential qualities that Paul had in his life that if we can grab a hold of those, and by the way, I'll just try to talk louder when that mic goes out, and I'll try to talk a little softer when it's not. I'm not sure if it's just thinks it's too loud a signal. I don't know why it's cutting out, but we'll just go with the flow. Poor Facebook, they'll just miss the words because I can't hear my voice without the mic. But anyways, it teaches them they shall be here, right? All right. Sorry, Facebook people. We appreciate you too. We were looking at these essential qualities. And so first we looked at the essential quality of surrender. And then we looked at the quality of grit. And then last week it was boldness. And Quentin, you did a great job of reading my words. You know, we went on Amazon to buy you an orange leisure suit. But then we decided there's no way you're going to wear that. So we just sent you a picture, because Quentin wasn't sure what an orange leisure suit. That was beyond his time, which made me feel really old when he's like, what's that? It's like, oh, man. How many people do not know what a leisure suit is? The young people. We got a couple of my age who didn't know, but it's a 70s suit. So if you can think of polyester and you can think of tacky, that's a leisure suit. Today we're looking at a topic of something that just is really missing in our society. There's just a void of it, it seems like. Or at least what we do have is just so misunderstood of what it's all about. And so today we're going to be looking at the essential quality of leadership. And if you go ahead and grab your message notes and see if you can find a pencil or a pen, you can take some notes along the way. And as you're doing that, I thought what we could do is talk about what is leadership. And so I'm going to need your participation on there because there's a lot of ways that you can define what leadership is, all right? And so name some, and I'm going to try to do this by holding the microphone. We'll see how this goes. But what's some words that you would use to describe what a leader is? Can you think of some words? Yell it out. Boldness. Doesn't like that one. What else? Direction. Be able to give direction. Truth. Someone who tells the truth. A communicator, there we go. Okay, inspirator. An example. Humble. Thoughtful. Relational. Can think of any others. Maybe charismatic. Respected. Learned, wisdom, yep. You'd never believe I was a teacher. Terrible handwriting when it comes to this. Anyways, maybe a person who cares can communicate that they care about what they're leading. You know, there's a lot of words that we can use, but I've had a feeling there would be one that we wouldn't think of, one that wouldn't be up here. And so if you look at this list, I mean, certainly Paul was all these things. As far as we know from his writings and the things that he talked about, Paul had all these characteristics, but there's one characteristic in particular that Paul had that many leaders miss, and that is that Paul had this ability to just see and identify potential leaders, and then he'd invest in those leaders, and then he would invite those potential leaders to serve and lead beside him. He was just really good at this, where he would just always be looking at who were these people around me who could maybe become a leader, and he'd invest in them, and he would invite them to work alongside of him, and then he would hand off leadership to them. It was one of his central traits of what he did. And so what he realizes is that his legacy wasn't really going to be built on his own accomplishments. His legacy was going to be built on what those that he left behind, those that he had influenced for Jesus, who were then going to influence others for Jesus. So in other words, Paul understood as a leader that it was never about him. And he was always trying to work himself out of a job by raising up others who could keep going on after he was gone. And Paul was just incredible at this. And so if you read through the book of Acts, you find this pattern where he went into a new city or a new town. He would tell a bunch of people about Jesus. He would start this new church. The church he'd start, he would identify potential leaders in this church. He would invest in them. He would invite them to step up and lead. And then he'd go and start another church. And he'd lead these new believers with these new leaders in place to lead this church. And Paul, he cared so much about these churches he started that he'd go back and he'd visit with them. And he'd get mad at them when they got off track spiritually. He'd get excited for them when they were growing. And he would write letters to these churches to encourage them and give them guidance. And it was these letters that eventually became much of the New Testament that we have today. And one of the critical marks of Paul's leadership is that he raised up new leaders to continue the work of Jesus in the churches that he started. So how did he do it? You know, well, here's Paul's secret, and it is our key verse for today. It's also a verse that we've looked at a few times already. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So Paul's model for leadership was the model of apprenticeship. Right? He didn't write a new leadership book. He didn't do a TED talk on leadership. He didn't do a 3-day seminar on teaching leadership. No, he said, "I learned everything I know by looking to Jesus. Now look to me to be that example. I want you to look and emulate what I have done." So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Paul and how he developed this essential quality of leadership. And it's a type of leadership that not only where you live for Jesus, but you begin to influence others to step up and live for Jesus as well, live like Jesus. But first, as I'm getting into this topic, I want to just kind of address a concern about this subject of leadership. Because I imagine as you're thinking about this topic, you might be thinking, you know what, Pastor Todd, I'm not a leader. You know, this is one that I can just sit back and I can just kind of let my mind drift because this is for other people. You know, we might be thinking, you know, I've never been a leader. I don't have anyone who I need to influence. And so I can kind of drift off and just kind of just ignore it. And I want you to let you know, but that's not true. That what I want you to see as we go through this is that we're all called to influence others for Jesus. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is influencing others. And godly leadership is influencing others for Jesus, for God. And so that's what we're going to be talking today. And so let me just say this. You can be an introvert and still be a leader. You can be a new believer and still be a leader. You can be afraid to talk in front of other people and still be a leader. You can mess up a lot and still be a leader. Just look at Paul. He had some mistakes in his life. You can be a leader, all of us. In fact, it's our Life of Paul leadership truth. And that is, as a Christian, I am a leader in formal, official ways and informal, everyday ways. As a Christian, I'm a leader in both formal and informal ways. And this is big because I think this could just kind of be a game-changing concept for you if you can grab a hold of this and see where this is going. Because at Living Water, we truly believe this. We believe that every Holy Spirit person, filled person in our church is a minister. Our church is a lay-led, and a lay means anyone who's not a pastor. So our church is a lay-led, pastor-guided church. And we believe that God wants to use you. Some of you lead in formal, official ways. You know, maybe you're a growth group leader or a ministry team leader, or you're on the leadership board, or you're one of the formal leaders in the church. We have formal leaders who are on our welcome team. We have formal leaders on our worship team and on the grow team who teach the kids. There are a lot of formal leaders positions here at Living Water. But let me just say that the majority of us, when we lead, we're leading in informal ways, not really informal ways. So you show up on Sunday, or you're a part of your growth group, and maybe while you're not the official leader of it, you encourage someone who's struggling. You pray for someone who's going through a difficult time, and you are leading them, okay? Or let's say that you're a parent, okay, and you lead your family, even as a child or a teenager can be a leader with their friends or with their siblings. When you're at work, you're a leader as you influence your coworkers for Jesus. You may not realize it, but no matter your age, no matter your health, no matter how much free time you have, all of us have the potential of leadership inside of us. All of us have the ability to influence others for God. And Jesus wants all of us to use that leadership potential that he's put inside of us for him. This is what we find in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Underline that phrase, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Do it for Jesus. Jesus, he wants us to be a leader for him. And so today I want to show you from the life of Paul how we can develop this essential quality of leadership in our life. And here's the first step there in your notes, and that is influence as many people as possible by modeling godly leadership. So that's the first step. Influence as many people as possible by modeling godly leadership. In other words, to develop the quality of leadership, you can't just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. You've got to lead with your actions and your words. And Jesus kind of turns our modern-day understanding of what leadership is all about just kind of completely on its head. Because our society says the best leader is the one with the most people serving them, the most people working for them, the most people who will do things for them. That's what the world says the greatest leader is. But Jesus says, no, the very best leader is the one who is serving the most people. And this leadership thing, it's all about service. Matthew 23, verse 11, Jesus says, the greatest among you must be a servant. The greatest must be a servant. Circle that word servant. Jesus says the greatest among us must be a servant. So the greatest leader is the one who is the greatest servant, the one who serves the most people. Leadership, it's not about us. It's about others. And it's about finding ways to serve others. And so how do you serve others as a leader? Well, you do it by modeling it. You do it yourself before you ever ask someone else to do it. You model what you want others to do. So Paul lived a life of integrity and character long before he wrote a letter asking the churches to live lives of integrity and character.
Paul lived a life of hard work before he ever suggested to others that they do the same. Paul was always the first one to sacrifice and go without. Paul led by putting his own life on the line. He never asked anyone to do anything he wasn't already doing himself. And listen, this gets to the heart of what leadership is about and what makes a great leader. You've got to live it out, because people see what we do so much more than what we say. And we might say the right things, but they want to know, are you going to back it up? And as soon as you find someone who doesn't live what they say, well, then that person, they just kind of losing, you know, interest. You know, this person's not someone whose you know, character matches their words. And so it's so important that we live it out. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We heard this verse already. Work hard. If you'd circle those two words. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So if you're Christian, people are watching you. Just all the time they're watching you at home, at school, at work, wherever you are. And the greatest influence you can have is by modeling godly leadership, by living out the truth that you're trying to share, by being that person of integrity, by being kind, by looking to serve others, by and not be just served by them, by using your words to lift people up instead of tearing them down, by working hard and just going that extra mile, people see these things. So the first step to developing the quality of leadership is that we model godly leadership. Here's the second step to developing this leadership characteristic, and we purposely identify the potential leaders that are around me. That's the next step. We model it, and then we begin looking for who are the people in my life that maybe has this potential to be a leader themselves. Paul was consistently doing this. He was always looking for potential where he could have them step up and lead as soon as he left to start another church. And he had to do this, because if he started churches in these towns and then he left them without any kind of leadership, they would just fall apart. The church would just crash and burn after he left if he didn't identify those leaders. And it kind of reminds me of him needing to pull up these leaders in the church in Ethiopia. And I'm not sure how fast the church in Ethiopia is growing now. I know it's still expanding pretty fast. But I know about 10 years ago, my parents got to go to Ethiopia and meet with some of the Christian leaders there. And in that country, in the Nazarene denomination, because that's the denomination my parents are part of, they had about 100 people that were coming to Christ every day. And they were starting 10 churches a day. And many of their pastors were only Christians 9 months to a year before they were put into a pastoral role of these brand new churches that were just growing all over the place. And so Paul's kind of dealing with this same kind of dynamic on a smaller scale. He's going into this town. He's starting a church. He knows, I've got to get leaders because I'm going to be leaving in a few months. A couple of times he'd stay there 2 or 3 years, but many times it was just months that he stayed. And so he was constantly looking, who are these leaders around me? And one of the first leaders Paul identified was a young man named Timothy. And we're not exactly sure how old Timothy was when Paul first met him, but we know he was young. Most scholars believe probably somewhere between 16 and 20. But we first meet Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. It says, Paul went first to Derbe, then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, and so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. So when Paul met Timothy, he saw potential that wasn't being tapped. And so he asked Timothy to join him on the second missionary journey. And you and I, we could be like Paul in this. Then there's potential leaders around us when you're in your growth group, when you're serving at church, you know, maybe even with your own family. And there's this potential around you to be used, that these people could be used by God in powerful ways. But maybe right now it's just kind of an untapped potential. It's lying dormant there because this person, you know, maybe they could use their voice and sing in the praise band, or another person could use their gifts and encourage others as a growth group leader. Maybe it's someone who might be a pastor one day. And you just see these things in these people. And my encouragement to you is just keep your eyes open. Who are the people right now in your life that God has brought into your life that has the potential to be used by God in some incredible ways? And maybe it's just untapped potential. And let me just say to parents and grandparents, because right now, and especially the grandparents, since we don't have as many kids here today, it could be that you're seeing potential in your kids and your grandkids. And my challenge to you is to be purposeful as you invest in them. You know, bring them to church. Get them involved in what you're doing. Maybe you're a greeter. Bring the grandkids along and have them greet along with you. Teach them to open the door. Maybe if you come during the week and you're working on the yard and picking up some of trash or getting some weeds, bring the kids along. And I know it takes way longer when you do that, but we're trying to invest in these kids so that they become potential leaders as we invest in them. And so I model it, then I identify leadership, and then here's the third step to developing this essential quality of leadership, and that is to invest in their spiritual growth. Invest in their spiritual growth. Again, you model godly leadership. You identify these people around you who could be leaders, and then you invest in those, their spiritual lives, of those that God is bringing to you, that you can just kind of bring them under your wing. And so let's say you meet someone in your growth group, and maybe they're fairly new to our church, maybe they're not really involved yet to this point, and so you invite them to come to church with you, and you take them out maybe for coffee or for lunch after church, and you encourage them. When you talk to them, you ask them about their faith, ask them about their relationship with God and how it's going. You encourage them to take steps of faith as they grow, and you invite them to be in your growth group the next semester, and you put them on your prayer list, and you let them know that you're praying for them, and you're excited to see what God is doing in your life. You invest in their spiritual growth. You're purposeful about this. Philippians 2, verse 13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." So I want us to think about that verse. For God is working in you, and he's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So God is already at work in your life, which means he's at work in the lives of other people in our church. And so we want to tap into what God is already doing in people's lives to encourage this. This is a journey that we're going on. This is a process that we're becoming a part of. But here's the thing. Sometimes in life, we see people that have potential, but their spiritual life can get stalled out at times. Sometimes they can get discouraged in their faith. Sometimes they can get distracted from what God's plan is for their life. And that's where we come in. And we step in and we invest in those who are getting a little bit stalled out. We remind them that God has this bigger plan for them. You see, and we're committed to helping them get to that place. We're being intentional. We're investing in people. So after Paul converted to Christianity, he went to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and James and some of the other church leaders. But when he first tried to meet with these leaders, they wouldn't meet with him because they were afraid of him. He was still known as Saul at this point. And Saul, before he became Paul, really, Saul had this reputation and this past that he had where he'd hunted down Christians and he had put them in prison and he even killed some of them. And so they were afraid to meet with Paul. But that's when there was a leader named Barnabas who stepped up. He actually stood up for Paul. And he said, "I see potential in this one. I see how Jesus has changed his life, and we need to give him a chance, and we need to invest in him." Imagine if Barnabas hadn't seen that potential in Paul. If he hadn't stood up for him. Imagine what the world would have missed if Barnabas hadn't invested in Paul's life. And, you know, there are people right now in our church and in the growth groups, maybe even in your family, who need you to see their potential in them, who need you to invest in their spiritual growth, even when maybe they can't see it at all themselves yet. Who knows? Maybe we have the next Paul or the next Timothy right here in our church, in your growth group, maybe even in your family. And we just need to recognize it and begin investing in them. And when we do that, we can take this next step back to our notes to developing this quality of leadership, and that is to include some of them in serving opportunities with me. Include some of them in serving opportunities with me. Now, I love this next part of Paul's story because it's one of the lesser known parts of his story about after he became a Christian. See, Paul spent about 3 years in Arabia studying and getting to know God. So right after he was saved, he gave his life to God. He went to Arabia for 3 years. Then he came to Jerusalem, and he wanted to meet with Peter and James, and that's when Barnabas stood up for him and brought him to the apostles. But then, after that experience, Paul went back to his hometown of Tarsus for about 6 years. And for 6 years, it appears that just nothing of spiritual significance happened, that nothing we've heard of. Nothing comes out of that time that we know about in Paul's life. He's just back home for 6 years. Okay, and so he's in Tarsus, and then in Antioch, which is a town just a little bit south of Tarsus, there's this revival that breaks out. And all these people are becoming Christians, and Barnabas is in Antioch in this revival, and he remembers Paul. So he goes to Tarsus, gets Paul, brings him to Antioch, and has him help with this revival, help lead it, help them being able to work and disciple these new Christians. And this is where Paul really blossomed. This is where Paul really became that leader that we see in the New Testament. But it was Barnabas inviting Paul to join him that changed everything. And Paul learned that lesson. And when Paul was leaving Lystra, he could have just left young Timothy there, but he saw potential. And he knew that what God could do in Timothy's life. And so he didn't just identify potential leadership in Timothy. He didn't just invest in Timothy. He also invited Timothy to come serve with him. And if you want to develop this quality of leadership, invite the people God puts on your heart and some of the people he's put into your life and invite them to serve with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 says, For you know that you ought to imitate us. And Paul basically saying, watch us and do what we do. This is what we need to say to potential leaders that are in our life. We say, hey, come with me. Serve with me. Watch me. See how I do it. Then imitate me. Join me in serving with love. And so where are you serving right now in the church? What is your ministry? Where is God using you? Do you serve on the welcome team on Sundays? You know, invite a couple people, maybe from your growth group, maybe someone who's kind of new, and invite them to serve with you. You know, maybe you help out with the kids program, and you could pull someone in to be a helper with you. And there's a little bit of a process where we need to make sure we vet people before they work with them, but you can start them in that process and encourage them to help you and see all the fun that you get to have with the kids by investing in the kids' lives. You know, whatever it is, whatever ministry it is, maybe you go and you visit some people who are stuck at home and aren't able to come out in church. Take someone with you. Whatever it is that you do in your ministry at church, invite others to serve with you. And you'll be amazed at how it just opens up this new opportunity, this new world of serving for them, where God can use them in powerful ways as well. And so if you want to develop this essential trait of leadership, you first model godly leadership. Then you identify potential leaders that's in your life. You purposely invest in their spiritual growth. You ask them to come serve with you. And then here's the final step, developing this characteristic of leadership, and that is to recommend a few of them to step into an appropriate leadership role. Recommend a few of them to step into an appropriate leadership role. Now, the people that you've identified as potential leaders, you're going to invest in all of them. You're just going to, whenever God gives you opportunity, you're going to pour into their lives. But as you begin to see someone is ready for leadership and they're ready to step into it, be that person's advocate. You know, let someone on the nominations team know, this person, I think they're ready for leadership with the leadership board. Or let me know, as being over the ministry team, I think this person would be a really great ministry leader. Or let someone know from the GROW team, this person would be just an awesome Bible study leader. I just think they would be great at it. If you see that potential, you see they're ready, then become their advocate. All right, let people know. So I want you to see a verse in the final letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. This is kind of toward the end of Paul's life. This is after several years of Paul and Timothy serving together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look what he writes. He says, "You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." Paul is saying here, Timothy, I identified you, I invested in you, I invited you to come and serve with me, and now it's your turn to identify people and invite them to make a difference in the lives of others. I modeled godly leadership for you, now it's your turn to do the same thing. It's your turn to pass on these truths to others. And this is really what our ministry model here at our church is all about. Discipling people to become more and more like Jesus and then raising up new leaders in our church. And so we just have this little model where we have connect and then grow and then serve and then leadership. And I want to make sure that we understand what that's all about. And so we have our connect team. And connect team is we try to identify someone who has an interest that other people out in the community might have. Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's walking, maybe it's dogs, maybe it's fishing. There's so many different things. Maybe it's going to Cook's Farm Dairy and eating ice cream and having conversation. You know, there's a lot of different things. And so you identify this person of what they might do, and then we have that person take that interest. They invite a few people, maybe from church, maybe some family members, and some people from the community that aren't Christians, and you make a connect group. And it becomes kind of like a support type group. You have some prayer time. You might have a short little Bible study. But it's all centered around that interest that you have. And then as someone gets to know people from our church, they get to know what Jesus is about a little bit more, then maybe, hopefully, they would want to come to church. And as they come to church and they give their life to Christ, and then they pass off to the GROW team. And the GROW team has our Bible studies and our worship on Sundays and our prayer team. And so all a part of making disciples. And so the GROW team, that's what their job is to find ways that we can all grow in our relationship with God. And then we have our serve team. And the serve team is all about missions and serving people. And so the serve team comes up with different opportunities. And we have things like OSEF, and we got Love in the Name of Christ. And then we have where we get Operation Christmas Child, or we adopt a family at Christmas time from Oakwood Christians, not Oakwood, but Oakwood Community School, Public School, Elementary School, that's the word I'm looking for, Oakland. And we just have these different ministry services, going to the Dominican Republic, all these service opportunities where people can serve and you can invite people to come serve along with you. And then after that, we have leadership, where someone leads in the connect, or they lead and grow, or they lead and serve, or they lead in the leadership board, and then we repeat, and you become a part of the connect group. And so that is what our model is trying to do, raising up leaders, discipling people. That is what we're trying to do here at our church. It's so important. And you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Todd, I can't do that. I can't help someone become a leader. I can't help someone change their life. But here's the thing. Yes, you can. You really can. We all can. If you're willing to allow God to use you to change someone's life, to be a leader in that way. And you know what we could do if we could all grasp this, that it's not just a couple people's responsibility, but it's all of our responsibilities together. We could literally revive our church. and revive our community, God could do some amazing things if we became purposeful about investing in people's lives instead of just saying, hi, how you doing, and that's enough for me on Sunday, and keeping people at arm's length. The power of leadership and taking that and being that example and being purposeful. And so the question is, are you ready to follow Paul's example and be an example for someone else? Are you ready for God to use you as a leader and influence other people for him? Because you can do this. I believe God is calling all of us to do this in some way. Every Christian is meant to be a minister. Every Christian is meant to invest in other people. We're not supposed to just hold it in ourselves. As God pours it in, we pour it out. The more we pour out, the more God pours in. And the sad part is so many people, they get it and they just hold on to it. And then they don't get any more because they don't release any of it. That's what it's meant to be, a pouring in from God so we can pour it out in other people and we never run out because we keep getting refreshed and we keep getting these incredible experiences as God uses us, but we got to be willing to step out. We got to be willing to take those scary steps sometimes. Let's look at our final verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I want us to read this verse out loud. It's right up here on the screen. Starts with the word remember. See that? Let's read this. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about this leadership thing, we tend to put people who are in leadership sometimes on a pedestal. Because if we do that, then it's safe. They're there and we're down here and they can do their thing and we'll just do our thing. And that's not the biblical model, God, that you give us. We're all to be leaders. Would you help us to see this? And maybe there's someone who's been coming to our church for some time now and haven't really got involved in ministry yet, and so they can't really begin this process because they're not yet in that process of doing ministry to where they can look for others to bring in with them. And so, Father, I just encourage anybody who's just kind of been waiting. This is the time. Find a place to serve. Find an interest. Find something that you just sense God is saying, do this, and get involved and be blessed by serving. But for those of us who are already involved in our church doing ministry, would you just help us to keep our eyes open to other people around us? Help us to look for the Timothys in our church. Maybe it's someone who's new to being a Christian. Maybe it's just someone who's new to our church. Maybe it's someone who used to be very involved, but life has just kind of gotten in the way and things have crowded you out, but they're ready to come back. They're ready to get back involved. Help those of us who are already serving to not be so focused on our task at hand that we forget to look for those who could join us in the joy of serving God and the people through our church. And God, I ask that you would send us laborers who are ready to join us in the harvest of souls. Send us people who are ready to be used by God for eternal purposes. Send us people who have potential for leadership that if we just invest in them, that amazing things would happen through their life, through the people that they know, where people can come to you, God, and give their hearts to Jesus and be changed forever. Oh, may we all see the excitement, the potential, all of that. When we invest in people, we just take the time to allow you to use us. Oh, may we give our agendas on Sundays to you, God. May we give our agendas during the week to you, God. May we create space. May we make room in our life for you to do whatever you need to do. May we build our lives in such a way that you can interrupt our lives at any time to pour into someone else's life. May our eyes be open to what the Spirit is leading us into. I pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.